It's the American Journal with your host, Eric.
I have a strong feeling of hope, and I'm not afraid at all. I don't know why. Because I think victory is coming, and by victory, I mean specifically the victory of the human spirit over the machine, which is trying to crush it, which is anti-human and non-human, I would say. But I'm not afraid for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why. It's not like I'm so rich or something that I'm not afraid. I'm not. But I'm not afraid because I feel on some deep animal level that these people just aren't going to win. I just keep going back to what I believe, and that is that I have two duties, that we all have two duties. And the first is to fight as hard as we can, nonviolently, for what we think is true, tell the truth, inspire others to tell the truth, be brave. Okay, that's our first duty. And our second duty is to be hopeful. Faith, hope, and love. Like, we're required to be hopeful.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and share the link today.
With only 43 days, that's 1,000 hours, to the most important election in world history. I know it's a cliche, but it's really happening now. Everybody can feel it and see it. We're with America's favorite populist journalist, Tucker Carlson. Tucker.
Alex Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Well,
in your hotel suite here in whatever city we're in Pennsylvania.
At a secret location. I saw him in the restaurant, ran over and stalked him and said, you got to come up before we go to your big event tonight. He said, sure, I'll give you a few minutes. So, Tucker, wow, a lot of serious stuff going on. You want to kind of repeat what you were just saying before we started taping here? For pretty powerful
stuff.
Well,
first of all, it's not my event. It's your event tonight. I'm interviewing you, and I can't wait in Reading, Pennsylvania. But no, I was just saying, we're just discussing the news, and you know, you can feel that evil is on the march, actually, and we don't have the benefit of straightforward behavior. So it's not like they're, you know, wearing tunics and jack boots and marching down our streets of our village. But they are on the march, and they're crushing people, throwing people we know into prison, torturing them into compliance. And I was just saying, we're saying, you know, what's going to happen in the election? We're talking about it off camera. And of course, I don't know. I'm always wrong in my predictions, but I have a strong feeling of hope, and I'm not afraid at all. I don't know why. Because I think victory is coming. And by victory, I mean specifically the victory of the human spirit over the machine, which is trying to crush it, which is anti-human and non-human, I would say. But I'm not afraid for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why. It's not like I'm so rich or something that I'm not afraid. I'm not. But I'm not afraid because I feel on some deep animal level that these people just aren't going to win. I mean, there may be short-term victories. I don't know. But there will be no long-term victories for these people.
I totally agree. I mean, the awakening I'm seeing and the desperation. And Biden today saying, I'm not allowed to have little girls on stage with me, but I still do. I mean, fiction could not be this creepy. Kamala Harris, never knowing what planet she's on, and then just all the fabulous corruption and all the, in Europe, arresting people for speech, and then Hillary saying we're going to arrest Americans for speech and passing laws in California to do it. This is not the stuff of a group that's confident and in power, is it, Tucker?
Well, I just saw a photograph of Josh Shapiro, who's the governor of Pennsylvania, who's evil, I'm not saying that lightly, with Zelensky, who was campaigning for Kamala Harris and Democrats, using U.S. military aircraft to get around, using our tax dollars.
Here in Pennsylvania right now.
He's campaigning right now in the key swing state today as we speak. And I saw Josh Shapiro signing artillery shells with his name. They're going to kill Russians in a war that we have not declared against Russia. We'll kill civilians. And I thought, evil is just open. Can you imagine signing an artillery shell that's going to be used to kill civilians in a war that you're not even in?
When it's the biggest nuclear power in the world, what'd you make of Biden going, yeah, we don't want the blame, but go ahead and use the storm shadows. When is that going to happen? Russia says that'll be a declaration of war.
No, but just the bloodlust, just the delight they take in killing. And
bloodlust, the delight they take in killing, the threat of nuclear war. That is the latest interview between Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones. Find it on band.video and InfoWars.com. Tucker Carlson says, we are playing with fire, and we'll get into that on the other side, exactly what Russia is warning its people of and warning us about as well. Stay with us, folks. It's the American Journal, InfoWars.com.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWarsMD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance. Or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula, meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor or just take our word for it and check out the InfoWarsMD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. World War III, we're pretty much on the cusp of all-out war, and I think I have a couple facets, a couple angles to this that you might not find anywhere else. I'm trying to find, there's this Axios article, and maybe they changed the article, or maybe they took it out. But there was a quote from this Axios article that was, this escalation between Israel and Lebanon was in fact a de-escalation. We're escalating in hopes that it will de-escalate it. And it's just like, well, are you trying to be Orwellian, or is it just an accident? But maybe they changed it. That might have been a little bit too on the nose for them. Yes, apparently the escalation is just a roundabout way to de-escalate, you see. You must understand how sophisticated these people are. The Economist, a new quartet of chaos threatens America. The rulers of China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia are growing worryingly close. And, you know, as I'm thinking about this, part of me wants to say, you know, despite all of their warnings, their false claims, their fear-mongering about Donald Trump starting World War III, it's Joe Biden who, in a very real way, started World War III. But then I want to stop myself and remind myself that Joe Biden's not doing anything. Is Joe Biden even president right now? Who is, you know, signing for the deployment of more troops in the Middle East? Who is determining our geopolitical stance? Who is in charge of our country as we careen towards conflict with our potentially more powerful foes, Russia and China and Iran? Is it Jill Biden? Is Jill leading us down the primrose path to total destruction? Who do we have to thank for this? Is it Anthony Blinken? Is it Ron Klain? Is it Victoria Nuland? I don't think it's Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden's been laying on a beach. He is all but retired. He is tapped out. And yet, we're deploying troops to war zones. We are assuring Israel that we have their backs as they start a second front in their genocidal war. Who's making these decisions? Because I'd love to vote them out of office, but it's kind of hard to do that when the people making the decisions aren't actually the people that we vote for. And the people that we vote for are lying on the beach like a squid. Kind of hard to feel like this is for the sake of our democracy when the just bare minimum effect of the people on the government has been removed from us. And we can't even vote on the chief executive, let alone the gigantic contingent of permanent bureaucrats that are actually setting policy. So I'd love to have some sort of democratic way to oppose and change the course of our government. But that really is what we're losing here. It's being stolen from us by the people who continually invoke democracy to achieve their ends. So great. So that's great. But here's some things that you might not know about and that I think all contribute to this. For one thing, I've been hearing rumors from sources that America is getting ready to invade Venezuela. And I thought I would just search that, just see if there'd been any published rumors about it. And it's weird because the first fact check you get is a fact check from a couple days ago saying, no, America has not invaded Venezuela. Is that the type of thing you need fact checked? An invasion? Seems kind of weird. Why would they want to invade Venezuela? What would be the point of that? Well, obviously, Maduro is not exactly friends with our government. He's a socialist, communist, right? They nationalized all of the oil and basically destroyed that country. But why would we even have to invade? I mean, typically, when America wants to get involved in Central or South America, we have ways of making it happen. We have ways of carrying out coups, of supporting dissident militant groups to overthrow a government. An American invasion would be an act of desperation. Why would we do that sort of thing? Why now? You know, we just confiscated Nicolas Maduro's plane, I guess, as some sort of preliminary to open conflict with them. But do you know that there's something a little bit different about Venezuela than the rest of the South American countries? There's something that makes them a little bit more difficult to infiltrate and overthrow. Do you know that the Venezuelan military and state police were actually trained by Hezbollah? Iran, Hezbollah, multifaceted threat to Latin America. This story from DialagoAmericas.com. The presence and activities of Iran and Hezbollah in Latin America are deeply concerning due to their multifaceted operations in the region, as well as their strategies, objectives, and implications for regional and global security. Mexican lawyer and writer who specializes in the geopolitical dynamics of the Middle East, Ilan Eichner, said in a June op-ed for the Times of Israel. Hezbollah's priorities in Latin America are closely linked to Iran's geopolitical interests. Prominent among these is to generate income through illicit activities such as drug trafficking, smuggling, and money laundering, with the aim of obtaining essential resources to maintain its operations in the Middle East and, as such, reduce Iran's financial dependence. Eichner told Dialogo on August 19th, Hezbollah engages in intelligence networking and operations in the region, creating logistics and operational support structures which can be woken up to execute terrorist actions when and if they need them. They conduct many of their illicit activities in South America's triple borders. The first, the triple frontier between Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay, with its neutral center in Ciudad del Este. The second is in the Andean triple border, made up of Chile, Peru, and Bolivia. The third is the maritime border between Colón, Panama, Maicao, Colombia, and Punto Fijo, Venezuela. In addition, Hezbollah resorts to networks of trafficking and smuggling of goods, networks, and illicit substance, with the tri-border region being the key strategic point of these operations. The profits made in these areas are integrated into the formal Iranian economy through their front companies. And you also have Hezbollah and the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps training and helping the Venezuelan paramilitary. Iran's role in supplying military equipment and Hezbollah's role in training Venezuelan paramilitary colectivos shows how both actors working together to prop up an authoritarian regime by repressing their own citizens and threatening their neighbors, particularly in the case of Venezuela's ongoing provocations towards Guyana. So you might not, you might not have known that. You might not recognize why Venezuela is a little bit different than America's behavior towards Southern or Central American countries in the past. Part of that has to do with the fact that they are armed and trained by Iran and Hezbollah. So just know, as this world war gets kicked off over this conflict, the tentacles reach absolutely everywhere, including into our own country, with the totally open borders and the millions of people crossing over unimpeded on a yearly basis. Now, this post, I don't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. It says, Russian electric bills added instructions to follow in case of nuclear strikes against Russia. I don't know if this is true, because you've got the Russian language here, but then this is a Canadian thing, or maybe this is just a watermark for the people that posted this, and it's a translation. But again, I haven't been able to confirm this, and it just looks crazy because they're doing the sort of automatic translation effect that, you know, Google and stuff does. But what it says, so supposedly, allegedly, this was distributed to customers of the Russian, you know, energy company. The civil defense signal, attention everyone, accompanied by the inclusion of sirens and loudspeakers, followed by emergency information, warns the population about the immediate danger and the need to take action. The procedure for the actions of the population on the signal, attention to all. So when you hear that call from loudspeakers, you're supposed to turn on the TV, radio, and other available sources of information. Listen or read the message about the current situation and procedure for action. Use information received only from official sources. Bring the received information to relatives and neighbors. They may not have heard the signal. Turn off the lights. Cover the gas walls. Act in accordance with the received message. Procedure for the actions of the population in case of radiation or chemical danger. Close windows, doors, and seal them with improvised means. Seal the ventilation hatches, grills. Wear personal protective equipment, gas mask or respirator. In their absence, use the simplest respirator protection products. Yes, wear your masks, folks. Stay inside, turn on the TV, radio, and do not turn it off until you receive information about the shooting and the procedure for further actions. When receiving information about the lights out, ventilate the room, be ready for possible repetition of the civil defense signal, attention everyone. So supposedly, Russia is handing out pamphlets to their citizens with instructions on what to do in the case of a nuclear attack, signaling once again the seriousness with which Russia is treating the conflict with NATO, a seriousness that the people in NATO seem happily ignorant of. And all of this, from the economy, a new quartet of chaos threatening America, to this story, UN General Assembly, Biden expected to deliver his final speech as conflicts loom. It all points to the simultaneous collapse around the world of peace and the deliberate creation of the conditions to bring about World War III, to advance the depopulation programs, to reorganize the economy, to make the COVID measures taken look like nothing in comparison. And remember the glee with which they were willing to take this mysterious, terrifying new illness and use it to get you to contact trace or to fire you from your job or transmute the anger and anxiety people were feeling into just the rabid panic that we saw, the way that they filled up skate parks with dirt to stop people from playing outside, roping off beaches and playgrounds, shutting down churches and people singing, literally making laws against singing in church specifically, while strip clubs, weed stores, and Gavin Newsom's favorite restaurant were allowed to operate continuously. Remember the glee and aggressiveness and just the orgy of advantage taken as a consequence of the COVID scheme, which at the end of the day didn't really even exist outside of the media. In other words, if they hadn't talked about it, they hadn't made a big deal out of it, likely what would have happened was COVID would have swept through everybody, everybody would have gotten the flu that year, and then we would have gone on as normal. And that's it. Imagine how much more intense it'll be if a nuclear bomb goes off. Imagine how much more they'll be able to totally reorganize, reimagine, and reform the entire economic system, the entire health system, the entire education system. I mean, the war is what gives them the ability to make these sweeping fiat changes. They did in the First World War, they did in the Second, and now they're doing it in the Third, and that is the point of all of it. But I wonder if you have heard about the looming shutdown of ports around the country. This is something that's not being reported on purpose by design. The media is complicit in the cover-up of this story. I got to let you know, and I have to let you know, to be prepared and to be stocked up. A perfect storm. Supply chains brace for looming strike at U.S. ports. This is one of the only stories I can find about this major story, and it comes from supplychainbrain.com. How many people do you know are checking the supply chain newsletter? How many people are so enthralled with the thrilling dramatics of the supply chain to like regularly visit this website? No offense. I'm sure people are really into the supply chain. It's a very important thing. But shouldn't this be on mainstream media? Shouldn't this be on ABC or CBS or CNN? Shouldn't you know that there is a massive looming nationwide shutdown of basically all of our ports and all of our shipping? But no, you have to go to the supply chain specific website to find this, or Infowars.com, because we tell you these things. The U.S. is barreling towards a strike at East and Gulf Coast ports ahead of a looming October 1st deadline for the International Longshoremen's Association and U.S. Maritime Alliance to reach a new collective bargaining agreement. Negotiations between the ILA and USMX stalled out in June after the union recognized that an automated gate system was being used at a handful of ports. The ILA has refused to return to the bargaining table until the issue is resolved, leaving both parties in a holding pattern as the clock ticks on averting the union's first large-scale strike since 1977. Impacts on the potential strike would also be magnified by the ongoing issues in the Red Sea and Panama Canal, said Mike DeAngelis, the Senior Director of International Solutions for Freight Visibility Platform 4Kites. We're facing a perfect storm with the Red Sea disruptions preventing normal access to the Suez Canal and the Panama Canal still reduced capacity. An ILA strike would effectively choke off major arteries of global trade. Again, this also has to do with the conflict in the Middle East, with the Houthis shutting down essentially the Suez Canal. So the Suez Canal is shut down. The Panama Canal is in reduced volume. And now because of this obscure contention about automated gates, they're potentially going to shut down for a significant period of time. And as this story reports, if these ports shut down for any significant amount of time, the U.S. could find itself buried under inventory shortage, higher cost at grocery stores, and months-long backlogs at shipping hubs. Supply chain data service Sea Intelligence estimated it would take 5 days to clear container backlogs at East and Gulf Coast ports in the events of a one-day strike. If a work stoppage drags on for a week, those backlogs would not be cleared until mid-November, while a two-week strike would push that timeline even further to early 2025. So again, nobody else is reporting on this. I really can't find a lot of reports. I guess the New York Times finally reported on this. I guess this is from today. A looming East Coast port strike could shake the economy. This is the first I've heard about it, and it's been known about for quite a while. And they're saying they're going to divert them to the West Coast, but I don't know how feasible that is. A strike could cost the economy $5 billion a day, or about 6% of GDP, expressed daily, for each day the ports are shut down. It would take roughly 6 days to clear the backlog. So if they shut down for 1 day, it takes 5 days to clear that backlog. If they shut down for a week, it takes a couple months. If they shut down for 2 weeks, that backlog will not be cleared until 2025. So what do you need to take away from this? Stock up, folks. Stock up. There is a very distinct possibility that as of October 1st, there will be a huge amount of difficulty in getting basic goods. So go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Get your emergency survival foods. Amongst all the other survival material that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, of course. This type of thing, I mean, that's less than a week away, October. It's about a week exactly. So 1 week from today, it is not unlikely that the ports all along the East Coast and the Gulf Coast will be shut down completely for at least a day, meaning you're at least a week. You're going to be a week behind on deliveries. This will have cascading effects, of course. As longer it's shut down, the more time it takes to clear the backlog, the more foodstuffs will be spoiled by that time. And so far, I found one story this morning buried down in the New York Times as a, you know, specific economy article about union negotiations. Now, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Here's where it might be an even bigger deal. And maybe I'm totally wrong about this. Maybe my source is totally wrong about this. But the same person that told me that America would be staging an invasion of Venezuela in 2 weeks. So we'll see. You know, we'll check back in 2 weeks if that's correct or not. They also insinuated that this port shutdown is less about union negotiations and more about the military takeover of ports as we prepare for a full-fledged and widespread war against a variety of allied powers. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the people at the top really are trying desperately to de-escalate between Israel and her neighbors. Maybe they're working tirelessly behind the scenes to create a, what does Zelensky call it, victory plan to negotiate with President Putin. Maybe the unions are just at loggerheads with the government officials and they're trying their best to come to an amicable agreement. Or maybe, just maybe, everything is being put into place to launch an all-out third world war, cancel the election, shut down, totally reorganize the economy, and accelerate the depopulation program with the convenient turbo boost of nuclear annihilation. It's one of those.
It's Friday, August 16th, 2024. The world is changing. The globalist system is now attacking humanity. Yes, our program's come to an end. A digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they move through the computer. What do they look like? Ships, motorcycles, with circuits like freeways. I kept dreaming of the world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
friend of mine, a really smart guy, is our guest. And I'm just going to put this right up front. If I owned a restaurant, I would want to have the best, most delicious, healthy food at the most affordable prices where I got the biggest crowds in. So you had a great experience. You want to come back 100 times and I make money and I'm successful. You have a great time. You get treated right. I get treated right. That's a community. So let's say it again. People really responded to this truth. I've been on there 30 years. I've had gold sponsors for 28 years as sponsors. Only two companies. Because if you want a numismatic, they'd sell it to you. But they would try to sell you gold and silver bullion with, you know, 10% markup or whatever to pay their bills and do it. And that's very fair. You barely do it. I don't know how Kirk does it at 8% with his crew and his everything and the quality and the marketing, but he does it. So he's paying for marketing and running his crew and doing all this stuff for 8% and no charge to sell it back. Everybody else does that. It's such a good deal. It's very frustrating. I know we have millions of people watching every hour, and a lot of folks are calling. He's getting thousands of calls when he comes on. That's great. But it needs to be tens of thousands of calls. I mean, this is so simple. In a world of fiat, you at least want to have a hedge that's in silver and gold. And if you look at what's happening, I am only going to try to push something that I believe I would personally do. And that I personally do. I mean, it's real simple. Do unto those as you would do unto you. That's the golden rule. And Christ said, actually, you need to go further, lay your life down for others. But when everybody's like that, you live in a great society because nobody's really having any problems. Everybody's a badass. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. So it is a no-brainer to call them, do a consultation, and get into silver right now. And if you want some gold, you know, maybe get an 80% silver, get some gold. But I think he's dead on. I don't think I know. You would be all silver. That's what's going to go up, obviously. That's what's undervalued. Then you get the gold once it skyrockets, which is already happening. So you need to go to KEPM.com/gold. That's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. KEPM.com/gold. And then InfoWars is the support. Or you can call 720-605-3900. And listen, if enough of you went there, because he does a sponsorship off of what percentage he gets, we could get reporters back, expand, do anything. I mean, already we would not be on air right now if it wasn't for his sponsorship. He takes us over the top to be in the black. Not much, but a little bit. And so I appreciate the crew staying with us through all this hell. It's been wild. We're still here by the grace of God, but you need to support this sponsor. It supports what we're doing. Plus, it's the best deal, the best company, the highest ratings. It's so simple. Call him now, 720-605-3900.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, folks, welcome back. We still have a lot more to cover. We got a guest in the third hour as well. Let me just put a bow here on the story we were just covering. I saw some people on X commenting that apparently mainstream media has been covering this. I haven't seen anything about it. I have not seen it treated with the intensity it deserves, and this has been going on for a while. We have a clip here. I guess Fox News did a piece on this this morning. Here's just a quick clip of Fox News discussing this.
Entangled up in a potential strike if one were to happen. One analyst telling Fox Business those vessels have no good options left. If a strike happens, those vessels en route now will likely be forced to wait offshore for the ports to reopen.
So they're covering it, and as person on Twitter noted, it's usually in the business section. Here's what I know from somebody in the union itself. They say, just want to give everyone a heads up on everything going on since the media has barely brought it to public, since they don't want the nation going into a panic. On October 1st, our international contract expires and all LIA and dock workers unions will be going on strike worldwide if USMX doesn't sign our contract by then. All container shipping worldwide will be at a standstill until they sign it. The only person that can force us back to work is Biden by using the Taft-Hartley Act to force us back to work for 90 days. But he's announced he's not stepping in and getting involved since the election is in November, and he thinks it would be a way to pull in unions to vote for the Democratic Party, even though a lot of people aren't voting for them still. Basically, make sure everyone goes and stocks up on household essentials that you need early, because it will get really bad really quick when they have to fully announce everything to the public nationwide. So, heed the warning or not, it's up to you. But according to people in the union, the contract's probably not going to be signed. The Biden administration is not going to do anything to stop it. And when the bottleneck happens, it won't just be East Coast ports diverting to the West Coast. It'll be worldwide shipping shutdown. Kind of like what we saw during COVID, ironically enough. Or typically enough. We'll continue to just talk about just the worldwide ridiculous conflicts right now. We just saw that Russia supposedly is sending out flyers to the customers of the state energy company with warnings saying, in the case of a nuclear attack or a chemical attack, here are the procedures you should follow. And here's what you should do. Extremely troubling. At the same time, they're releasing videos on official Russian state media. Like this one, Russian media publishes a simulation of a nuclear strike on the British capital, London, showing just how many people would be evaporated instantaneously. Clip number 10, here is an animation, a warning, a preview from Russian state media about the effects of a thermobaric bomb on the city of London.
Yes, and we're also following breaking news this morning. Just moments ago, the FBI released a new report showing the national crime rate decreased in 2023.
Upon detonation, a fireball as hot as the sun rapidly expands, reaching a radius of 950 meters. Anything trapped inside this fireball is instantly vaporized. In our simulation, the epicenter of the explosion is at Westminster. People within that radius won't even feel anything because the nerve impulse transmission speed is slower. Within 5 kilometers of the epicenter, the blast radius. City of London, Camden Town, Kensington, Brixton. These areas will receive the most destruction. Buildings will be destroyed and debris will fill the streets, creating extremely dangerous conditions for everyone in the vicinity. Given the population density in central London, the initial death toll could exceed 250,000 people and around 600,000 injured. Within a radius of 10 kilometers, the radiation will cause third-degree burns. Within that radius, anything that can burn will catch fire. Gas stations, automobiles, power substations, gas infrastructure. Explosive facilities will explode and amplify the effect of the devastation over a huge area, including areas from Camden to Greenwich and Islington to Wandsworth. According to various estimates, a further 450,000 people will die from burns, debris injuries, or radiation sickness, and over 1 million will be traumatized. Many of these injuries could prove fatal over the next days and weeks. Radiation sickness in particular will take lives days and weeks later. In time, about 100,000 more will be added to the death toll. Within an 18-kilometer radius of the blast, the shockwave will be enough to shatter windows, causing additional casualties to people who come to the windows when they see the nuclear blast. The shockwave will reach Hounslow, Edgware, and Enfield. Depending on the wind, the fallout could spread well beyond the immediate blast zone, potentially affecting areas up to 5 to 10 kilometers away, causing damage even in regions such as Essex or Surrey. The estimated casualties in the event of a 750 kiloton nuclear bomb exploding in London would be about 850,000 people dead and about 2 million injured. If the explosion were to occur on the ground rather than in the air, the fallout map would be greatly expanded, and the radioactive fallout could even reach Manchester, infecting people, land, and animals. The problem with a nuclear explosion in London is also that London is essentially not designed to survive such a disaster. 11 of London's 20 major hospitals would be within the blast. The remaining hospitals would be physically unable to cope with the number of victims. Many people are still alive under the rubble of the building, suffering burns, but no one will be able to help them. Since the creation of nuclear weapons less than 100 years ago, there have been more than 20 incidents where a nuclear-armed country was one step away from a nuclear catastrophe. You can easily find these statistics on Wikipedia. I will attach a link to this article in the description of the video. I want to call everyone to action. Nuclear weapons are a real threat to our future. Give this video a like and share it so that as many people as possible can learn about its consequences.
So that's what Russian state media is putting out. And they seem pretty serious about it. And they, of course, are armed with hypersonic missiles. We cannot stop, cannot defend against, and can deliver a nuclear payload. Now, this video, I don't think it's worth it necessarily to go to the whole thing, but maybe I'll just retweet it. It's a video comparing speeds of supersonic and hypersonic missiles. And if y'all can bring up my computer screen, it, like I said, the whole thing's like 3 minutes long. We just don't have time to play it here. But when you see how fast these things are, I mean, it is impossible to imagine. So you've got, you know, things going Mach 5, and then they're just lapped by these things. Or I guess those were going Mach 4. This is Mach 5. And it gets up to like Mach 30 or something. And, you know, every time you see this thing flying, you think, my God, that's unimaginably fast. And then it zooms out and something flies by that, you know, going the speed of sound. And it just goes on and on. And as you're watching this, you don't know how long the video is. You just keep thinking, there's no way it can get faster. There's no way they've got something faster than that. And then here comes a new device of mass destruction. Zircon Mark 9, the Kinzhal Mark 10. Another thing you notice as you watch this is that, yeah, America's got a couple missiles in the top echelon. But we're quite a bit outclassed by China and Russia in a number of different ways. So Russia is putting out animations showing in excruciating detail just how many people will die if London is hit with a nuclear bomb. They are saying that they're changing the procedure of their, you know, nuclear conflict in order to make their response quicker and more aggressive. They are sending very clear warning signs about this. And the West is either so arrogant that we don't care, or it's sort of in line with what they want anyway, and they think they'll be safe in their bunkers. And actually, maybe we'll go to that video from Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones today, because that's exactly what Alex Jones is talking about in the clip, where he's talking about the bunkers that these people have prepared and are planning on living in, straight up Dr. Strangelove style. Let's go now to clip number 13, because this is Vladimir Putin telling the truth about Western societies and not holding back, as he calls the leaders of these countries vampires. Let's go now to clip number 13. Here is Putin on the degeneracy and stupidity of Western elites. Let's watch.
But the gist of it is different. The gist of it is that the so-called golden billion for centuries, for 500 years, they have practically lived off of other peoples. They were ripping apart these poor peoples, poor nations of Africa. They exploited Latin America. They exploited the countries of Asia. And of course, no one forgets this. And I have a feeling that it's not even about the leaders of these countries, even though it is a very important thing, but the common people of these countries, in their heart, they can feel what's happening. They can see our struggle for our independence, for our true sovereignty. And they see this connection with their aspirations to be truly independent, which is exacerbated by the fact that in the Western elites there is a strong desire to freeze the current unfair state of things in international affairs. For centuries, they've been stuffing their stomachs with human flesh, and they've been stuffing their pockets with money, but they must realize that this ball of vampires is about to end.
They've been stuffing their bellies with human flesh, but this ball of vampires is about to end. UK is getting dangerously close to full-scale war with Russia. Story at Infowars.com. The entire world should be deeply concerned about UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer wanting to launch long-range missiles into Russia, despite the advice of his own foreign office and that of former UK National Security Advisor. And, of course, they note that the entire Ukraine conflict was about to end due to a mutually acceptable and initially agreed-upon agreement between Russia and Ukraine negotiators on April 1st, 2022. Then former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson intervened and forced Zelensky to renege on that agreement, assuring him that NATO would supply Ukraine with the weapons needed to militarily defeat Russia, which has proven to be impossible. Now you've got Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, and Volodymyr Zelensky signing rockets. And actually, let's play that video if we can. This is clip number 7. Here's Josh Shapiro signing missiles in a Pennsylvania weapons factory. It's the only thing America makes anymore, apparently. Signing his name to something that's going to go kill men for no reason. And my favorite part, perhaps, is that handshake in the background. First of all, Zelensky, creepy little goblin.
Thank you for giving me the missiles to defeat the Russians.
With the handshake, and I don't know who that is behind him. I thought maybe it was Ron Johnson at first. I can't tell. Some politician. And the handshake. The handshake, like they accomplished something. You know? It's like the handshake between the coach and the manager after a big game. Or between the CEO and the salesman after they settle a big account, right? Well done. Well done. We've done it. Congratulations to you. We couldn't have done it without you. What have they accomplished? What exactly have they accomplished again? Using other people's money to create weapons for a war with no discernible end, no stated purpose. I really hate them. I really hate them. And it's like what I hate most about politicians. Like, it's one thing if you're just stealing our money for your own pet projects, if you're starting wars that you won't fight in. Like, that's bad enough. But then it's the self-congratulatory attitude. It's the, we've achieved great things here kind of attitude that comes across. And like, they've achieved nothing. They've achieved absolutely nothing. Like they've achieved less than nothing. Achieving nothing wouldn't kill a million people. It's another one of the things that didn't get a lot of attention from the debate. But Trump said that it's been millions of people killed. And, you know, he gets the official numbers. He gets the intelligence briefings as the candidate for the Republican Party and potential next president. For months, he's been getting, he probably still got them after being president, but he's been getting the, you know, classified intel. And he lets it leak sometimes. So the official account is already astonishingly high, hundreds of thousands dead on both sides. During the debate, Trump says it's millions. He says, you have no idea. He says, you're not getting the real numbers. but it's been millions. So if they did nothing and were self-congratulatory, patting themselves on the back, it would still be absurd. No, they've killed millions, and they're acting like this is something to be proud of. Like they achieved something. Like all of their hard work finally paid off. Just lying and manipulating, using other people's money to fund a boondoggle that's starting World War III. And they're so proud of themselves. They really are. Gateway Pundit has the story along with the video that we just played. World War III is approaching. Pro-Putin channel simulates massive nuclear strike on London. Would, quote, instantly vaporize 850,000 people. Which, hey, it's less damaging than the migrant crisis. I mean, it'd be easier to get over and easier to repair from than the importation of millions upon millions of hostile foreigners, gangs of rapists. So, hey, you know, maybe this is Putin with a gift to London and England. Maybe this is less of a warning and more of an advertisement, like, hey, just push us a little farther and you get a clean reset. You get a clean slate. Try again, do over. Because obviously you have failed, Britain. You have failed utterly. Everything is getting worse in every possible way. And maybe that's why war is on the horizon. Speaking of migration, I want to go to clip number 12 now. This is Donald Trump yesterday at a rally of his. Which, say what you want about Trump, and I spoke yesterday about the disappointment on his rabid and illogical and nonsensical and politically retarded obsession with Israel. But let's go now to clip number 12, because Donald Trump continues to be one of, if not the only politician on the world stage to actually treat the American people like we are a people and, you know, have a culture and an ethnicity. So let's go now to clip number 12.
But it takes centuries to build the unique character of each state. And we are going to. And, you know, when you do that, so the number one rated country is Norway. The number two is like Denmark. And, you know, it, on and on it goes. Spend much less money than we do. And they have the finest education. And New York City, a few years ago with de Blasio, who is one of the worst mayors in history, by the way, he said, we're going to go with the Norwegian system. That didn't work out too well. Okay. You know, when they start throwing the teachers out the window, that wasn't working out. They don't do that in Norway. Historically, they haven't thrown too many teachers out the window in Norway. But we're going to make it good. And you know what's going to happen is out of the 50 states, you're going to have 35, like, different ones. Iowa will do good. A lot of the states will do very good. I can think of probably 30, 35 will be and 5 will be okay. 10 will be okay. You'll have 4 or 5 that will be terrible, but that's okay. We have to control it. But you'll have Idaho. You'll have Idaho will do a great job. They, you know, no debt, no this. They run a great state. A lot of places will have great will have education that can compete with Norway and Denmark and this, but we'll have certain places, and it's the same places like Gavin Newsom, who is a terrible governor. You'll probably have a problem in California, but what you do is you give it to the local communities and they'll have a great educational system. You don't want to give it to somebody like Kamala because she destroyed San Francisco and then destroyed the whole state. But reckless migration policy can change it very quickly, and it can destroy everything in its way, just like we've seen in London and Paris and Minneapolis. Look at what's happened in London. Look what's happening in Paris. If Kamala Harris wins this election, she will flood Pennsylvania cities and towns with illegal migrants from all over the world. And Pennsylvania will never be the same. You will never be the same. When I'm president, all migrant flights to Pennsylvania will stop immediately. By the way, all migrant flights. Not only to Pennsylvania, everywhere. No, but how about they get caught? You know, we just found that out a few months ago. They're saying, no, we're fighting. In the meantime, people are just pouring in. No, we want to do it. And then we learned that the airplanes are flying. That means that, you know, it's just a big con job. Remember this. For a long time, she's been talking about her experience at McDonald's. I worked at McDonald's over the French fries. It was so hot. I think I'm going to go to a McDonald's next week someplace. I'm going to go. Might not be in here, in your place. I'm going to go to a McDonald's, and I'm going to work the French fry job for about a half an hour. I want to see how it is. But she said she worked since she grew up in terrible conditions. She worked at McDonald's. It was such. She never worked there. And these fake news reporters will never report it. They don't want to report it because they're fake. They're fake. They don't want to report it. She never worked at McDonald's, but it was a big part of her resume. They went to the different places. Did she work here? Did she work here? Did she work here?
Off the rails. Pennsylvania is, of course, ground zero, along with Ohio and Colorado. There's a lot of these states where they're deliberately dumping hundreds of thousands of migrants. And it seems to me like they're making a gamble. You know, part of what their agenda is to demographically remake America, specifically by targeting small towns, red states, states with, you know, a lack of diversity, a.k.a. a lot of white people. And they want to demographically replace and electorally overwhelm the people there. We said again, you know, what happens when you send 20,000 Haitians to a district with 50,000 people? You essentially make it a Haitian district. Because there's one thing that's proven true over and over again. It's that ethnic blocks imported into America, put in one single congressional district, they all vote together for their people to represent their interests. So you are stealing these people's birthright to have a say in their country. But the gamble is that the overwhelming number of migrants will be able to vote illegally, or at least contribute and participate and affect the electoral outcome. The gamble is that that's going to be more effective than the outrage, fury, anger, and suffering that it causes, which is going to cause everybody to vote for Trump and deport everybody. So there's sort of, it's a risk here, and the risk will not pay off if the people in Ohio and Pennsylvania and elsewhere recognize, oh, these migrants are an attack on me, I should not vote for the people sending them to destroy me. I hope we can make that decision.
I got a great way for you to keep InfoWars on the air, and regardless of what happens, InfoWars keep me on the air, and that's the AlexJonesStore.com, a new key URL for you to mark down. I've teamed up with the folks that make a lot of the top-selling Trump shirts in the country. They've got the best t-shirt designers, Bigly. If you go to thealexjonesstore.com, that's separate from InfoWars, so that's key to support. Into the future, whatever happens here. 30-plus amazing new t-shirt designs, new ones being added every day. They're incredible. Trump shirts, you name it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And every time you buy a shirt or 30-plus different great designs of Patriot ball caps, you get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day. It's different every day. Into the raffle to get $10,000 cash. Halloween's when the prize is announced, the winner, and a $138,000 turbo diesel super deluxe off-road upgraded, the best truck you can get, over the top turbo diesel engine, AEV standard features, and then it's all upgraded. I tried to go over, take an hour, the best tires, the best shocks, the best systems. It's a 2024 Ram Prospector AEV Dodge turbo diesel, army green, black with red pinstripe, ready for you. When you buy something, you enter 5 or 10 times, depending on what promo they're running that day, in the raffle. All at thealexjonesstore.com. But the t-shirts, the reason to go there, keep us on air. And these are badass shirts. They've got over 30 incredible t-shirt designs. I think there's more now. They're adding more every day at thealexjonesstore.com. They're designer. They're high quality. They're all there. Some of the InfoWars classics, they updated, made even better. A lot of new, incredible designs. A lot of Alex Jones shirts. A lot of Trump shirts. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. We need your aid. We need your support. Plus, he's a great shirt. You'll meet like-minded people. It spreads the word. It's exciting to wear these out in public. Most people will agree with you and love you. You'll meet so many friends. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. We need your support. No excuses. Take action. thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you. Enter to win right now at thealexjonesstore.com.